PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You know, sometimes in life, it seems like there's no way out. Like a sheep trapped in a maze designed by wolves. And you know that if you're ever in that situation, there are always two doors to choose from. And through the first door, oh, it's easy to get through that door, and on the other side, waiting for you, all the nummiest treats you can imagine. Fanta, Doritos, LMP, Burger Rings, Coke Zero. But you know what? There's also another door. Not the Burger Ring door, not the Fanta door. Another door that's harder to get through. Guess what's on the other side? Anyone want to take a guess?
Vegetables?
No, not vegetables. No.
Jesus?
You would think Jesus. I thought Jesus the first time I come across that door. It's not Jesus. It's another door. And guess what's on the other side of that door?
Jesus.
He's tricky like that, Jesus. So let us pray to Jesus, please, to make it a bit easier to get through those doors and to find you and your bounty of delicious confectionery. Thank you, Selena. Take it away.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Whoa, baby. Welcome to episode 274 of Cinema Crespediso. It is Crespo Mania Sunday. That's right, we're doing the thing that we always do. But first, we gotta crank up that bass. Check it out, Drew. Here we go. You have one ear in your headphones. You have one ear on. If you were in these headphones, you'd hear that bass. You would hear that bass, ladies and gentlemen.
These are old hand-me-downs.
Drewster Cogburn. That's Drewster Cogburn with the old hand-me-downs. Those are legacy headphones, man. They've been here since the beginning.
I like the pinkies.
Those are the only headphones that have been here since the beginning.
I just like them because they're hot.
The cabin boy pinkies.
No.
That's what. One day, when those finally go bad, we're going to make a turn into a plaque, hang them on the wall. We're going to get Matt. Cabin boy to put his handprint on it, like in a bronze handprint type thing.
We're gonna get a nice wood plaque.
It's gonna be a big ceremony. It's gonna be a big, big deal. But before we do any of that, threat update. Your current threat level is baby blue. Current threat level is baby blue. Abandon your hopes at the door. There you go. Abandon your hopes at the door, ladies and gentlemen. I already introduced Drew Cogburn.
I think you made that one up on the spot.
What are you talking about, Drew Cogburn? We already talked about the Drew Cogburn. He's here. You get that air horn, but first. Well, first, I already said, but first. Now second.
But first.
You know what? I'm not going to keep track of the order.
Welcome back to the second half of the show.
So the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, this first time back since episode 225,
wow.
Practically a year ago, April of last year, from BYOCB, Bring Your Own Cheddar Bay Biscuits, ladies That's and right. gentlemen, Chris Fisher, yeah, yeah.
Hello, two-time Chris Bay.
How's it going, Fish?
Awesome, man.
Thanks for
awesome.
Coming on, man. Thank we appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out. Especially it's a very busy Sunday, the WrestleMania. Yeah, who do you got? Give me a couple winners tonight.
It's a 7-hour show.
I know, isn't
it's
it?
Crazy.
What? It's
yes.
What?
It starts at five.
It's It starts at 5, but does the card start at 7? I thought it started at 7.
They do a pre-show, which I believe starts at 6.
Pre-show. Well,
so that's just a bunch of smack talk.
So hold on, they do
right?
the pre-show, I believe that starts at 5, but then they have matches that begin before the actual official start of WrestleMania.
Really? Oh my God.
I sat in that damn Camping World Stadium last year from 5:30 until 12:30 p.m.
Goodness
last year.
Because it was here last year.
It was here last year. Yes, it was crazy.
That's a long,
it
long
is.
Day. That's
no,
a lot of wrestling.
Thank you.
That's mm-hmm. a lot of wrestling.
No, thank you.
All right, so who you got?
Reigns over Lesnar.
Oh snap!
Undertaker, I think, shows up and beats Cena.
Undertaker shows up. Is he not scheduled to show up?
Not on any of the advertisements.
Get out of here! But you think he's gonna show
yeah,
up?
Yeah, he's nice. Been hyping it for the last 4 weeks of like
what?
Cena challenging him. So,
oh, okay,
yeah,
okay. I think storyline. All right, cool,
yeah,
cool.
But yeah, I think I watched NXT last night, which was ridiculous.
I'm tied into it, I'm sure. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it still here? NXT is always here, right?
No, they do for the big pay per views. So the big four, they'll do it. NXT Takeover the night before, which is their kind of big pay per view event, if you call it that. I mean, you can get the WrestleMania WWE Network for free.
Yeah, that's right true. Now. If you have the network, yeah.
Yeah, and they always put on a better actual wrestling product. Theirs is less show, more wrestling,
which I like. I want to see the wrestling, man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm tired of all the talking and the I get it, you gotta advance the storylines, but man, it's like some bad Second City auditions up
right.
there. It's like, this is where you gotta get to get there with the improv, and it's like these guys are better at slamming each other on the ground,
yeah,
not necessarily getting from A to B. You know what I mean, Drew?
No.
No, you're a wrestling fan. You like wrestling.
I did for
in the 90s when it was super popular and everyone liked it around our age in the 90s.
I was more of a fan of like the wrestling video games than I was the actual wrestling.
Oh, man, those the THQ games.
THQ, that was so sweet.
WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah. WCW versus NWO.
Yes. The New World Order was one of them, right?
No. Mm-hmm.
I played WCW versus the World, I think. Was
yes, the World.
There was a couple of them, yeah.
Oh, man, those were good games.
I think there were like 6 or 8 of them. They ended up coming out,
and then you got a Nintendo 64. We got one of the games, and then we were playing it. And I was like, "It's not. I'm not a kid anymore."
The original Nintendo had pro wrestling, just pro wrestling
with Starman and King Corn Karn. Yes. And I played the hell out of that game.
Hell yeah!
Actually,
Starman was awesome.
Drew had the Nintendo emulator that I was using for a while, and the pro wrestling was on there. And I played the hell out of that. I had more fun playing that than I did the WrestleMania 2000 with the N64.
Yeah.
Simpler the better, man. Pro wrestling, that's a classic. I also had WrestleMania, the game for NES, which was terrible. It's like there's no front ropes.
Yeah.
It's only you can't go out of the ring, and then the way they move, it's
everything.
Like barely...
because it's all it was like side scrolling. 3D.
Because it wasn't the screen wasn't scrolling. The screen was fixed, but it was like there was side movement. Yes, but also kind of up down.
Yeah.
A little bit.
There was a Mortal Kombat-esque WrestleMania game.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because it was less of
like death.
You pick guys, they fight each other?
Yeah.
One-on-one?
Yeah, I thought that was one of the WrestleMania
and at the end, you got to rip off their heads?
I would hope so. Andre the Giant rips off Hulk Hogan's head.
Take out their hearts?
You want
to
for real.
Their hands?
There was a terrible ECW game that came out in the 90s by Activision.
Yes.
Who also made that bad WrestleMania game. So Activision, the king of bad wrestling games.
Right.
Of course, ECW, Paul Heyman screwed up and signed a deal with Activision and the wrong company to sign a deal with. And man, that game sucked, but I played the hell out of it.
I still had it.
Because I love that ECW. Guys, welcome to Pro Wrestling Video Game Talk with Drew Sikogbert. And guest, here is your show intro. We're talking video wrestling games. Drew Sikogbert, what was your favorite video wrestling game? Was it the THQ ones?
The THQ ones.
I'm going to go with the pro wrestling and the original Nintendo. How about you, Chris?
WCW versus the World, I probably played the most hours playing that one. Because the roster was just loaded.
Those rosters were so deep by the late 90s because they had the memory finally to like load it up with all these dudes. You know what I used to do? I would make ECW characters with the with the build-a character type thing
because I had all the moves and oddly enough, they had all the costuming as well.
Yeah, the costume.
Like really, they were just sitting in there waiting for you.
Get some really interestingly close replicas of characters they didn't have licenses for.
Right.
That's what shut down all those NCAA sports games.
Ones. Yeah.
The football ones.
Yeah.
To do the basketball ones?
I don't know if the basketball ones got... I think the basketball got shut down, too.
Yeah.
I know the football. I don't think it's... I think 2012 was
It's been a while, right? Yeah. I just heard about this recently. It's like, oh, it makes sense, though. These kids ain't getting paid, so how come someone else should make money off their...
Yeah.
Because they're, like, replicating their look and their numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All of it.
Man, that was crazy. All right, well, that was a video game wrestling talk with Chris and Drew and guest. All right, back to Cinema Crespediso, Drewster Cogburn, if you will. Let's go ahead and get ready with the streaming pick of the week. You get the randomizer 9000.1 going, and I'll get plug the intro.
He's been draining a lot of power recently. I had to get a backup generator.
I know. Rechargeable batteries.
Picks of the week.
Pick of the week.
Pick of the week.
Cinema Crespediso streaming.
That's why we do this every week. You don't have to sit around looking at the libraries on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon for hours and hours and hours. You're just wasting your time doing that. Listen to our show. We'll tell you what you can watch. So go ahead, Mr. Fisher. Let everyone know what is this week's pick of the week.
This is awesome. It's Wind River on Netflix.
Whoa, heavy stuff. Wind River Netflix. Drew, can you go ahead and see if it's available on any other...
It's just on Netflix streaming.
Just Netflix. Well, obviously rental anywhere else. Man, this is a heavy... tough movie, you know, but it's good.
I just was talking about this the other night.
Oh, yeah?
With our friends Samantha and Travis.
And well, we guys
just talking about it.
Were you talking about how intense it is? And I was like, it's really well made, but yeah. It's also like, man, it's sad.
Yeah.
You know? Because, I mean, it's about. Have you seen The Intro?
No.
The easiest way to
you kept
sum
calling
it, up,
it Wind River.
It's Wind River. Well, because I only saw it in print. I was waiting for them to actually say it in the movie, and they said, it's Wind River. I give up. You guys win. It's about. I guess the easiest way is about the violence against Native women, indigenous women, Drew, and how it's like underreported. And
I don't know about that.
And but they made a thriller, mystery thriller, based on that heavy theme. So it's one of those things where it's tough. It's like, well, okay, I'm watching this. It's entertaining. It's well made. Jeremy Renner is good. Elizabeth Olsen is good as the FBI agent who she's fresh off the training course. Like, she don't know nothing. That's how little the government cares about these crimes. Mm-hmm. They send the new
of
person.
Course. No, that's one of the many themes of that Scalped comic book that I was reading a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. Remind people, because it's been a while since you mentioned that.
It's basically about a Native American who goes off, joins the army, gets his training, blah, 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 becomes an FBI agent, comes back. To his reservation to basically take care of business.
Well,
and, you know...
with, like, local crime stuff?
Well, yeah, because, you know, it's Indian territory, so it's their own rules, their own law. They don't have to...
Which is what Wind River, it happens on a reservation.
Exactly. So if things get murky, there's only so much technically the U.S. government can do.
Yeah.
It's really up to the tribal police, this, that, the other, but... You know, for the most part, it's really corrupt. I mean, the chief runs the casino, so you can imagine the kind of problems that brings in.
Interesting. That reminds me, like, so it's reservation territory, right? Not necessarily it's federal government in a different way.
Yep.
So when there's, like, private contractors out there, they feel like they have more leeway, more sway than...
Well, they can, because they can get away with whatever they want.
It's crazy.
What's the location? Where's it based out of?
One of the Dakotas, I feel like. Right,
if it's on a Native American reservation, you could bet it's somewhere that us white people or everybody here doesn't want to be.
Let me see. I'm looking up here.
All of us immigrants, the places where we don't want to be, that's where we put them.
Look up here on IMDb. Oh wait, no, it takes place in Miami. It's weird. That's right. There was a lot of palm trees on that reservation.
Yeah, glorious.
There are some reservations in Florida.
That is true. Yeah. Shout outs to the Seminole tribe. Are you guys listening? Hello? You guys listening? Seminoles? If you're listening, hashtag.
They're not listening.
They're not listening.
It's at Hard Rock Casino down in Tampa.
I was there once. Walked around it. It was pretty. It's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a casino, but it's not. It's like Vegas, but it's not because it's just the one casino.
Right.
So you walk around and then it's over.
Yeah.
And it's right up a by-4. And there's no next one to go to.
And there's no next one to go to. And then you walk outside. It's like, oh, this neighborhood got really bad, really quickly. What is that? It's because it's technically. Johnny was telling me. Johnny the Hater. Remember, Drew?
No.
You were there, Drew. Remember, you were there.
I was there. I might have been there.
You might have been there.
I might have been there.
You're definitely there.
Okay, so I was there. Doesn't mean I remember.
Oh man, Drew, that makes me sad. That makes me sad. Wind River's an intense movie, reuniting of Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch.
Yes. Oh, right,
investigate
a
murder in the on a tribal land. That's what's going on, Drew. I recommend it.
I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's really worth watching, man. It's good. It's good stuff. But be ready to be, like, not bummed out, but like, man, this is...
Yeah, pretty intense.
It's intense. This is good stuff. All right, well, there you go. That is your streaming pick of the week. Thank you so much, Chris. And now let's do the box office recap. Drew, we're going to talk about them dollar bills.
Stupid.
That's right, dollar bills, y'all. We talking about
all that sweet, sweet money. Juicy Cardboard.
Where we starting at top five? Wait, what? Yep, where we starting at top five?
Top five starts number 10.
Perfect.
With Isle of Dogs.
Isle of Dogs.
Made $4.6 million, total of 12.
12 million?
Mm.
How many screens is it on?
Right now, 554.
So still a limited release.
It expanded 389 of those this week.
All right. So it more than doubled its screen count. Still limited release. I think this weekend coming up, it'll be an official full release. So people can, everyone's can finally see now. But of those 500 screens, one of them was right here at the Winter Park Village. Regal Winter Park. So Drew and I went and saw Isle of Dogs. Drew, our review, take it away.
This movie made me glad. Well, it made me know that when Morgan Freeman dies, we will still have another great black actor to carry on his
his voice work.
His voice work legacy in Courtney B. Vance.
Courtney B. Vance.
He did a really good job as narrator.
Courtney B. Vance does have a great, great.
He's got a great narration voice.
Sonorous voice. Yeah, it's very, very pleasant to listen to as he speaks. Isle of Dogs, a story, a fictional story, of dog flu running rampant through a fake city in Japan. So the dog-hating mayor,
Megasaki City,
so the mayor, who hates dogs already, decrees that all dogs are going to be thrown onto the
His entire family line hates dogs.
His whole family line hates dogs, they like cats. So when the dogs get sick, like, perfect, let's throw all the dogs on Trash Island. And they'll be banished to Trash Island. And then his ward, nephew, long lost nephew, something like that.
Yeah.
His ward, his dog is amongst the dogs that get sent to the island. So he goes to the Trash Island by himself, teams up with a group of dogs. They're not speaking to each other. They're talking, but they're not to each other. To go find his dog. Yeah. That's the setup.
We only understand the dogs. The dogs barking is translated into English.
Yeah.
But the kid's Japanese and everybody else's Japanese is never translated for you.
Well, that's not true. There's no subtitles.
Well, some of it is.
But sometimes there's like on-screen
voiceover.
Translators.
Yeah.
It's animated, right?
Yeah. Stop motion.
Okay, so this is that really creepy looking.
Yes.
Yeah, see, my kids saw the trailer for this and they're like, we don't want to see that.
It's weird looking, yes. I have weird emotions bubble up inside of me when I think of all that old Rankin and Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, The Abominable Snowman.
Same stuff.
Scared of that.
It's the stuff of nightmares.
The Frosty the Snowman still terrifies me to this day. Terrifies me.
Crazy stories.
Yeah.
So I think you should definitely take the kids to see Isle of Dogs.
Definitely. Scar them for life. The same way that your parents scarred you, now you get to scar your children.
It's wonderful. But in such a loving way, because Isle of Dogs, it's a sweet little
movie
about dogs and relationship between people and animals and pets and stuff like that. I liked it. I thought it was good. Plus the aesthetics of it.
It's very Wes Anderson.
It's very Wes Anderson, so all those scenes are very meticulously dressed, and since it's stop motion, they really have full control of all the details, and so it's fun seeing, like, when they even have a wind blowing leaves across the screen, and you gotta think, man, they
took time to actually put each
leaf.
One of those leaves. Yep.
Each leaf, like, or when there's an explosion, so the smoke, and you see it's like a black cotton
ball. It's like
ball.
Cotton balls.
The cotton balls. It's fun. Like, you can see what the materials they use sometimes. And then there's some shots like, oh, how did they even do that shot? That's a really cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a couple of really epic animation shots. Great voice cast, obviously. You can't have Owen Wilson in your movie without him going, wow, at least once. he did it. He was like, wow. Jeff Goldblum is in it. Amazing. The dog hears all the rumors. He's he's great.
He really likes gossip, Chris.
He likes gossip. Bill Murray. It's like very recognizable.
Well, people
and voices.
Yeah, it's Wes Anderson just went into his stable and was like, all you guys, get over here.
Harvey Keitel shows up for a scene or two. Okay. It's like halfway through a dog scene. I'm like, that's Harvey Keitel. I got it now. Now I can pay attention to this
scene. I love watching the animated movies, and then there's the voiceover, and you're the whole time you're going like, I know this voice.
Who is this guy?
I can't figure it out. And you have to look it up after. I'm like, oh, that's who it was the whole time.
That's the whole movie is like that. There's one character who is called Yoko, and that's Yoko Ono. So it makes it easy to recognize, okay, that one's Yoko Ono. Because they actually named the character Yoko, just to make it easier. Probably because she was in the sound booth, like, they were calling her something else, and she wasn't responding. Like, just call her Yoko.
Hey, Yoko.
Huh? What? That was a good Yoko Ono impression, Drew.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the extent of her dialogue, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
She had, like, one scene. Isle Dogs, good stuff. Very enjoyable. I'd say go see it in a theater.
I mean, yeah, if you like Wes Anderson and
especially if you like Wes Anderson,
all the things that he's done in the past, and this is just another one of his movies.
There you go. If you're a fan of Rushmore or Life Aquatic,
yeah,
Royal Tenenbaum, stuff like that.
Fantastic Mr. Fox,
especially Fantastic.
This
Mr.
is pretty
Fox.
Much like the follow up to that, yeah, of sorts.
Yeah, George Clooney as Chief. He's great. He's a great Chief, George Clooney. He's doing a growly voice the whole time.
It's awful.
It's good. Isle of Dogs. There you go. Good stuff. Drew Sikogwarn. Let's continue the box office recap.
Number five this week.
Number five.
I can only imagine.
You can imagine what?
That it made
what the number five movie is?
It made $8.35 million for a total of 69.
Oh.
Up top. All right. $69 million
on a budget of 7.
Oh, wow. Nice. I can only imagine, too, coming to a theater near you.
It's that Christian exploitation movie.
Christian exploitation, but then they bunch it all up. There's that and God's Not Dead 3 and Paul, Apostle of Christ, all came out within 2 weeks of each other.
Easter, bro.
Doesn't mean you gotta
squeeze. You gotta pander. You gotta pander.
But not in the same time period. Christians go to theater, go to movies throughout the year. Don't go to movies just around Easter. As a matter of fact, Christians are busy around Easter. They ain't got time to be going to movies three times.
The Christian movie companies haven't gotten into how Hollywood actually works yet. They're just pushing product out there right now. They haven't fine-tuned the machine of, Jesus movies? I mean, eventually it'll happen. They'll just be crammed out. Redbox will be full of them.
They should be.
No.
God's Not Dead 3.
4.
No,
5.
I'm saying 3. 6. What I'm 7. Saying is 3.
God's Not Dead 316.
Should have been straight to... First off, it should have been called God's Not Dead 316. And second, it should have gone straight to Redbox. Yes, but no. They put it on theaters. Mm-hmm. What? It doesn't have Kevin Sorbo. Apparently, at the end of the second one, a pastor refused to turn over his sermons to the government. Supreme Court, like, he lost some sort of case where he had to turn over his sermons to the government. He was like, no, I won't do it. Weird. All of that's weird.
No, why?
None of that makes sense. That's all I know. Because then this third one takes place with, like, him in prison, I think.
Mm.
And he's like, so I guess maybe it's like Shawshank Redemption, yeah. Or maybe it's more like that movie Short Eyes.
But he already knows he's not going to find God in prison. He already found God.
He's bringing the God to prison.
God put him in prison.
He's going to convert those prisoners into God-fearing Christians ready to go out there and do the work of the Lord. Plan's going to backfire against the government. Boom, take that government.
I'm not so sure about that.
That's all, yeah.
No.
You're not?
I have a feeling if he's going to a real prison, he's just going to join a white supremacist group.
But it's not no.
So the giant Negroes don't murder him.
That's racist. Not a real prison. It's a God's Not Dead 3 prison.
So what does that mean?
It's a prison in a world where you can go to prison for not turning over your sermons to the... It's a prison in that kind of world. So I imagine minimum security.
Okay.
You know, they get a...
So it's not prison jail.
Well, it's prison because it's federal. He's there for more than a year. A year and a day. That's why they tag on that day, to make sure you're going to prison.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you're not getting off this one, son. Mm-hmm. Going to county jail where they get you bologna sandwiches.
Number four this week.
What were we doing?
Black Panther. Made $8.4 million.
Wow!
What's the total now of that?
Total $665, which puts it at the number three all-time domestic. Finally passing Titanic.
Past Titanic.
Oh, wow. And also makes it the number 10 worldwide.
Number 10 worldwide. Number three all-time domestic past Titanic. So many things ahead of it are Star Wars and Avatar,
mm-hmm.
Right? I think so. Mm-hmm. Star Wars, Force Awakens, and Avatar. Only movies make more money than the Black Panther. Mm-hmm. Goddamn... Good for them.
And Black Panther, I mean, as much as I would love it to, it's never going to touch that Star Wars money.
Because that's almost $1 billion. Yeah. It's like $900 million something. That Star Wars Force Awakens was... that was insane. That was crazy. Did you get a chance to see Black Panther?
I haven't seen it yet.
See, so that's how much it made that much money. Chris hasn't even seen it.
How good is it?
It's good.
It's good.
It's very good. Are you a fan of the Marvel movies already?
I mean, are you picky?
You're indifferent.
Yeah.
I think it is upper end, and it's a type of movie where it's different enough that I think outsiders to the whole Marvel experience will still like it. Like a Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, it's almost like, I mean...
Or Spider-Man Homecoming.
Just imagine if Iron Man was cooler, less drunk, and came from Africa.
Came from Africa.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I like that.
Way less drunk and way more African.
Way cooler, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Tony Stark's a cool guy, but he's got nothing on T'Challa.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, T'Challa, he's much more mindful of his position of privilege, and, yeah. he uses it well, as opposed to original Tony Stark, who's a real D-bag.
Just a drug asshole.
Has to learn how to be a hero. That's the whole point of the Iron Man. It's fun. It's fun. It's cool. It looks really cool. I would definitely, it's one of the ones where it's worth checking out. It's almost like the... If you're not a fan of the Marvel movies overall, or if like you're just indifferent to them, the standalone Marvel movies are the ones that are more interesting to watch. Ant-Man, Black Panther, Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And then the ones that are start teaming them up, the Captain America sequels, your Avengers movies, all that, that might be. That's like just too much. Because then it's nothing but plot machinations.
Right.
And then just throwing characters together. Like, I don't know how this Infinity War is going to work, man.
I think it's going to be... probably not as good as these other movies have been. The Avengers Infinity War might be too much, Chris.
It might be too much. It might be too much.
It
might be too much. And we'll see. So far has a reported running time about 6 hours and 22 minutes. So we'll see. I don't know. No, it is their longest one. But at like 2 hours and like 36 minutes... But it is obviously going to be their longest movie. But by that much. There are other, like Captain America Civil War is only a few minutes shorter. So
I feel like the latest Star Wars was a tad too long.
It was.
I can usually go into it and I'm like, I don't have to pee throughout the whole movie. But when you're in a movie and you're like, I have to. Yeah, it's too much.
It was like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And the,
it felt like it.
And that middle 20 minutes is definitely like your wheels are spinning.
Yeah.
The plot is strange. I like the movie. But you're right, it is.
This is kind
of you feel the length. Definitely walked out of it. I was like, oh, I'm kind of glad it's over. Yeah, absolutely. Black Panther, though. Similarly, about 2 hours and 20 minutes. But that plot's always moving forward and it's very compelling.
Okay.
So
I'm going to see it in the next 2 weeks. I'm going to go see
definitely
it.
Definitely worth checking out. Drewster Cogburn.
Number three. Blockers.
Okay.
Made $21.4 million.
How much? 21?
21.
It can't have a big budget either.
21.
Well, then you get $21
budget? All right. And
you got Cena money, right?
It's got Cena as one of the main three, him, Leslie Mann, and Ike Barinholtz. They paid to play parents who are cock blocking their children on prom night.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you may have to watch this for instructional purposes to see, right? Don't you have this coming up soon?
I'm worried about this.
With your youngins, you can only take them to NXT events for so long before it's time to go to prom, you know?
Yeah. Oh, be very afraid. My problem was.
Yeah, but Drew wasn't one of the... He was crazy for a different reason.
He was just
hopped up on...
doodads and...
On doodads.
Wackadoos.
For kids listening, doodads and wackadoos were what the high schoolers were doing in the 90s. Now it's, Molly and it's the rest of but in the 90s, those doodads and wackadoos. Disco biscuits were huge in 92.
And they call it blockers, but there's a giant cock on the... I mean, come on.
The original... And I saw online called it Cockblockers, the full title. And when I saw that trailer, I was like, especially since John Cena was in it.
Yeah, it's like, wow, they're going for it.
Well, no, I was like, is this a fake movie? Like, I thought it was fake. I was like, this is not.
I thought they were going for it. I was like, wow, they're actually going for
it. Initially, I was like, is this a Funnier Die skit? And then it wraps up. I was like, no, this is real. Like, that's a ballsy title. And then when we saw the marketing again.
It was just the Black Rooster.
The Rooster implied cock blockers. Implied cock blockers. They should have called it that. Mm-hmm. The implied cockblockers. I don't know. It looks all right. But I was waiting for the reviews. Drew, do you have the Rotten Tomato score? Can you pull it up?
Yeah, I can do that. It's certified fresh.
Is it certified fresh?
It is.
But how fresh, though? Yeah. 65% is certified fresh, you know? All right.
I think it's up there.
No, it's 80-something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, mistaken.
That's good. Produced by Judd Apatow.
83%.
That's solid. What's a consensus there? Likeable.
Average rating 6.3. Blockers puts a gender-swapping spin on the teen sex comedy. One elevated by strong performances, a smartly funny script, and a surprisingly enlightened perspective.
Interesting. I guess because most comedies like that in the 80s, especially the 80s.
They're surrounded by the guys and them going to prom.
The guys are trying to get laid.
Yeah.
The dude's always trying to get laid.
This is the ladies trying to get laid.
Good for the ladies. Ladies got to try to get laid too. Ladies got to feel societal pressures as well and succumb to them in, glorious societal bonfires of egos and bright futures.
Has Leslie Mann been in a movie in the next 10 years or in the last 10 years that hasn't been an Avatar?
I do not think so. No.
I can think of one. Her movies are bread. That is her bread and butter.
I can think of one. Well, they're married. I can think of one. The other woman. Her? Cameron Diaz.
Okay.
What's that model? Kate Upton?
Oh, yeah.
And a dude from Game of Thrones, Jaime Lannister.
Correct, yes.
Jaime Lannister's married.
He's banging all three of them.
He's banging all three of them. He's married to Leslie Mann, cheating on her with Cameron Diaz, and then cheating on both of them with Kelly Upton character. So the three of them get together to make his life miserable.
I think I saw this.
It is directed by Nick Cassavetes, which is crazy, but he also directed The Notebook, so it's kind of in line with some of the things that he's done. And I saw something on HBO, and I was like, the thing is, I like Cameron Diaz and Leslie Mann. I was like, I'll give this a shot. It's got Jaime Lannister. Maybe he'll cut someone's face off with a sword. That never happened.
No
sword play whatsoever. He drank a bunch of estrogen, and his nipples got really big at one point.
Good for him.
It's very different from Game of Thrones. And but you know what? It was a movie. Like, it had scenes.
Yeah.
And there was editing and dialogue. And
somebody got paid.
So people got paid. People got paid. So, you know, it was a successful movie. It was for sure a film.
Yeah.
And it played on HBO.
Chris.
Which is...
Chris.
Kudos.
Chris.
Kudos for playing on HBO.
Okay. Chris, The Room was a movie.
Yeah.
It had editing. People got paid.
That's debatable. Even I know it was, like, put together and everything. That's still debatable. Whether I've seen it multiple times. Debatable.
They made a movie about the movie.
That was a movie. So Blockers, probably Blockers seems like something, especially now this time of year. More and more movies are coming out. As we're on to May, goodness gracious, it's going to be movie crazy. So I think Blockers will be something I end up seeing on. Also, doesn't seem like a type of movie you need to see on a big screen.
No, it's a comedy.
Yeah, right? How rare is the visually appealing comedy?
Yeah.
You know, when was the last one? Like Hangover Part 3? And even then, that's barely a comedy.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the
John Goodman shooting people in the face. What's funny about that? Nothing.
The 22 Jump Street, the 21 Jump Street. Those are action heavy.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, bigger scope, sure. Okay. No. Yeah. Lord Miller, I got you there. All right, fair enough.
Maybe that's really about it.
So that's number two Blockers?
That's number three.
Number three Blockers. Man, I feel like we're going. All right.
Number two, Ready Player One. Additional $25 million. Made total 96.
96, all right. So it's going to make some money. It number one...
Oh, it doesn't matter, Chris. Foreign, 294.
Yeah, 294 foreign. I was about to say, it was the number one movie in China last weekend. It opened for 60-something million dollars.
So the Chinese like Steven Spielberg?
They already like Steven Spielberg, and they probably emphasize... I wouldn't be surprised if in their marketing they emphasize Iron Giant and Gundam.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese characters just... So you see more Asian stuff on their side, you know?
If they got an extended Gundam scene, I'm pissed.
No, I didn't think there's no extended stuff over there. $60 million opening weekend in China was their number one opening weekend, I think, for the year? Mm. I think so. But it's considered great. Great opening weekend over there. And that bodes well for it internationally. So Ready Player One, well, yeah, it'll make its money. Not won't be as successful here in America. Mm. What are you going to do? Americans are dumb.
Number one this week, Chris.
We also talked about this movie last week, so you can check out our spoiler-free review from last week, as well as our spoiler bonus episode if you don't care about something.
Number one this week, Chris.
Quiet Place. What?
Yes.
A Quiet Place, all right.
Made $50 million.
Wow.
On a budget of 17. Good job, John Krasinski.
It was a packed theater when we saw it. Yeah, good job, Mr.
He had to grow a beard.
Jim Halpert. Right.
Jim, yeah.
He had to grow a beard.
Not once did he look at the camera. He had a beard in 13 hours, too.
He had to,
not once in any of those movies did someone say something, he looked at the camera, and then the camera like zoomed in on him.
Hollywood would not accept him as an actual leading man until he grew a beard.
I think he's grown a beard more for his own, like, I need to be more masculine. He's already a giant, but he's like, I need to be more.
He's still
of a
ripped
man.
In this one, right?
He can't really tell. He's never shirtless, okay. But you can tell, yeah. Especially sitting next to Emily Blunt. Like he towers.
He's huge. He is a big man.
He's a big dude. Like he was for sure ripped in 13 hours. It was annoying. So like, you're a good looking guy. You were on TV. And I want to be ripped too in a Michael Bay movie.
Asshole.
Come on, leave some for us schlubs around here. Wait for my chance to be in a Michael Bay movie where I'm behind a computer and I'm wearing thick glasses and I'm like typing away really fast as the camera rotates around me and then some. Like then The Rock comes in and like smacks me in the back of the head and cucks me because that's what Michael Bay does. He makes sure he has his alpha males and his beta males and he splits them up appropriately.
If you go back and watch old episodes of The Office and compare him now, he was not an attractive man back when The Office originally came out.
Interesting, really.
It's completely different. He looks completely different.
Because he gets some money so he can take care of himself, do some grooming. Absolutely. Pay for a hairstylist and stuff.
Interesting. Pay for a personal trainer.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Start eating well as opposed to McDonald's every
so
night.
So you're saying season one, Krasinski could not have landed Emily Blunt?
No, absolutely not.
But season what, was it 8 or 9 Krasinski? That was
he was getting, yeah.
Totally got that.
That's when he was getting that Blunt. Yeah.
You said, getting blunted.
Yo, I'm gonna hit that
all day, every day.
I'm gonna hit that blunt.
Has she have an accent in this one? Or?
No, American accent.
Okay,
yeah. Well, she does a pretty good American accent.
Too, I mean, actually. They do barely talk in the movie.
It is. That's the thing. Well, so yeah. It's A Quiet Place. It's they don't really say what it is, but it's aliens, right?
Yeah,
they're aliens. They hunt by sound. And they're blind, and you know they're blind, and they hunt by sound, because all the way in the beginning of the movie, you see, like, Krasinski's little war basement, and he has dry erase boards with, like, all the details of what's going on, but it's obviously, like, these things were written on the board once and never erased, so it's just, like, it's a very clean board.
Yep.
Like, see how this has been, it's all...
Right, yeah.
You'll see, none of that. It's a clean board with all the facts that you need as a viewer. Then also, arranged perfectly. I found this so funny. During the opening credits... as he's like walking around in his basement very quietly, you see all the newspapers
arranged perfectly
so you can see all the headlines, but they're like perfectly, but you know, at angles, but so you can see all the different headlines from the last days of, like, since there were still newspapers, I guess. Also, there's a one huge headline from the New York Daily News. It sound with an exclamation point. It made me think of, like, 1950s, like, sci-fi.
Oh, okay.
It was really
Mars Attacks!
Mars Attacks! It sound! Exclamation point. And then I'm thinking, all right, so now they realize it's sound. These creatures are hunting by use of sound. But they still, like, ran the presses to make these newspapers. And went out and delivered them. And people went on, they got them. Like, shh. It sound. Oh, my God, it sound. Put the paper down.
And that
I found it funny. The opening was hysterical.
At least they got out the It Sound on the last day, because that's the only paper that's still outside every single store.
Yeah, that must have been the last newspaper. They got it on the last day. It Sound, and the aliens are coming at you. We figured you out as you yelled It Sound. So there are a family living out in the woods, and society has obviously crumbled because these creatures hunt by sound. They got to walk around the sand and stuff like
sand
that.
Sand trails.
Paper plates, right? Have to use paper plates.
Paper plates, when they're playing Monopoly, they get rid of all the tokens and they're using little knitting things and they're dropping the dice on the rug. And and so then it's pretty much, it takes place like, there's like 2 days. There's like day 89 and then day 479. And that's
something
it.
Like that.
But it's only those 2 days.
Yeah.
And most of it takes place on that second day when it's like 400 something days into the whole sound apocalypse or whatever. And then it's just like a story of them, like how shit goes down in one day and they have to like kind of survive and figure stuff out. And it's how they do survive against these creatures that hunt by sound. How do they live? She's pregnant because they made the very smart move of, you know, having sex and like, we're going to bring a child, a crying baby. We're going to bring a crying baby into a world where creatures hunt by sound. Mm-hmm. This is very smart. So we saw this packed theater, with one lady and a few rows behind us who were every 5 minutes, every time something happened, she screamed.
So because of the fact that it's not a lot of dialogue throughout the movie, I'm assuming that there's a lot of quiet time in the theater, or
everything's quiet. So single sound that is made in the movie almost kind of makes you jump. Because everything's quiet, so like even the door creaking is like, oh my God, what the fuck is that?
Like, what is that? What is that? Yes, it's a very quiet film. So then in the theater, it's quiet, and one of the characters, the daughter is deaf, and she's deaf for real. Mm-hmm. So they use a lot of sign language to communicate in the movie, and and then subtitles. And they're whispering so quietly that they'll throw up subtitles for even when they're whispering, so you can make sure you still understand what the dialogue is and what they're saying. But then just becomes a very dialogue-free movie at times. They're communicating visually and with hand motions and stuff like that.
That's gotta suck being deaf if the whole premise of it is the monsters, aliens hunt by sound, because you wouldn't know that you're making. Sound.
And that kind of plays into it sometimes. Something like that plays into it.
Or you don't know if you're being, if something's around you, because you can't hear around you and stuff. And she has like the cochlear implant that you see right in the beginning. He's like trying to fix her implant and stuff like that. So it's very much plays into obviously the whole storyline. Very well made movie. I'm nitpicking a little in the beginning about the whole newspaper headlines and stuff. It's just silly nitpicking, but it's very well made, very tense. What do you think, Drew? Did it get you?
Were you scared? I wasn't necessarily say scared.
I wasn't scared.
I was tense though.
Yeah, it gets pretty tense.
But it's only because of like I said, the way the movie's done. Everything is so quiet the entire time. Yeah. So once you get used to the quiet, then once the movie starts ramping up, and things start to get louder, it's batshit crazy.
And they establish the danger of the aliens pretty quickly, so that then you're like, oh man, these things are for real.
Uh-huh. I would want to go see this with not that many people in the theater, just quiet as possible.
It would definitely help.
That's the thing. Okay, so when the movie started, it's a quiet start. It's a slow beginning for the first 5 minutes. So we were in there with a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah.
So they were like giggling and, you know, we're having fun. Look at Jim.
What's that without her parents?
And you're hearing all that
because the movie's so quiet. Yes. So for the first 5 minutes, it was kind of frustrating. Actually, it was like, come on, shut the fuck up. But then as the story kicks in, this is what I was hoping for. Once the story kicks in and you learn what's really going on,
right after the first. Right before, should I say, the first cut?
Yeah, the first thing that, yeah, it's pretty quiet in that theater for the rest of the
movie. Yeah, yeah, right after that happens, everyone's just like,
except for one woman who's like, every few minutes, like screaming out loud, to the point where people are like, come on, lady. Like, it's not every single time you're going to do this. And like, I wonder if she was really, imagine living with that, Drew.
Mm. I read an article, Chris, that this movie...
I read an article, Chris.
This movie almost became part of the Cloverfield franchise.
Really? Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I thought the same thing.
I could have seen that. Throw in some real quick thing about
The
Cloverfield thing happened. Mm-hmm. So now this is happening.
No, exactly. One of the headlines reads Cloverfield Paradox.
I hated that movie.
The Paradox one?
I hated it.
It was pretty
weak.
I wanted it to be better. I appreciated what they were going for, and I liked the retconning. I liked it, but the movie itself was like, I can see why you dumped this streaming stuff, put it on theaters. Yeah. It's
way overhyped when it came out. Awful.
Very unfortunate. Awful. But A Quiet Place, though.
Very good.
It was very good. Yeah. It was very good. Definitely check it out, people. All right, so
you go. I agree with the Rotten Tomatoes score on this one.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes score?
I think it's 97%.
Man, that is high.
Have you noticed on all the trailers now they're doing on the TV, they always put the Rotten Tomatoes score
If it's a good score,
now. Yeah. 97%.
Because people know what Rotten Tomatoes means, essentially. So, yeah, if you can flaunt a good score, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what's the average rating?
8.3.
8.3, okay. That's good. That's very good. All right. I put around there 7.58 or so. All right, here we go. New movies come out on DVD. Really quick. All the Money in the World. That's the one where Kevin Spacey got cut out like with a month before it came out, and they replaced him with Christopher Plummer. A lot of fun. That's the best part of watching that movie, is watching all the Christopher Plummer stuff. And then Mark Wahlberg is such a non-entity in it. It's so weird. He's a black hole of nothingness in that movie. I don't mind Mark Wahlberg in movies, but in that one, he is not good. The Greatest Showman.
We're about to watch this.
There you go. If you're a Hugh Jackman fan, he's a song and dance man. It's him at his songiest and danciest.
We tried to rent it last week, and it wasn't available yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. It will be this week.
Yeah, so we're going to have a movie night this week. We're watching that.
Very nice.
The kids are super excited
about
that.
With the kids? Yeah, that's a good one for the kids. Music by the people who did La La Land.
They listen to on Spotify, they've got the soundtrack.
Oh, already? So they're already into it. There you go. All right, well, this would make a good double feature then with the kids. The Greatest Showman and Phantom Thread. I think the kids would appreciate Phantom Thread a lot.
The kids would not understand. No, you don't think so.
You don't think
they'll
understand what's
movie.
Going on in Phantom Thread. You don't think they'd appreciate.
I mean, hell, Chris.
It's a movie about making dresses.
Chris, there's some.
He's got little girls.
Chris, there.
And cooking. There's cooking involved. A lot of food. They like food.
There are grown adults that wouldn't understand Phantom Thread. I watched the movie, and I mean,
you're not a big fan of it.
I mean, it's Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'm not saying you don't get it. I'm just saying you're not a big fan of it.
So the movie was gorgeous and beautiful and well acted. And I mean, everything.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
I just, I don't care about
now dresses. Is a great time to teach the kids about Daniel Day-Lewis and what it means to win this Daniel Day-Lewis movie. But yeah. Phantom Thread comes out this week, Daniel Day-Lewis' film. And Molly's Game, the Aaron Sorkin written directed poker movie with Jessica Chastain. Yeah, I want to see that. I like Jessica Chastain a lot. What's in theaters this week, Drew?
Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare. Blumhouse's Truth or Dare, horror film.
Finally get rid of this stupid trailer.
We've seen the trailer so many times. Oh, my God. Oh, it's not even a good trailer
yet. No, it's not. They just used that effect from the FX Twin video in the 90s.
It looks like a Snapchat filter movie. Snapchat the horror film, because everyone's got like crazy faces.
Small face, yeah.
What else we got? What's
going on? Some Anna Faris movie called Overboard.
Apparently
it exists.
Overboard, this is the... I think we mentioned this on our preview episode at the beginning of the year. This is a remake of the Kurt Russell Goldie Hawn Overboard. Yeah. But they flipped the roles. They made her the working class lady, and then he's like the rich dude who gets amnesia. And I think it makes sense, because in the 80s, that dynamic worked. I'm going to make this uppity chick appreciative housewife. I think now in 2000, it makes more sense to flip that. We're not trying to make women into housewives anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a remnant of the 50s. Mm-hmm. Now it's more like, gender equality, et cetera. So it's more of a class war thing, really, though, right? Because she's poor, he's rich. Uh-huh. Anyway, it's a brave new world, 2018. You got to be up on your PC gender politics. You know what I mean, Drew?
I don't care about PC or gender politics.
No, no, you don't, Drew.
Also coming out this weekend, they're really trying to make John Hamm a movie star, Chris. Beirut,
starring John Hamm and Rosamund Pike. I almost called her Rosalind. Rosamund Pike. And it's, what is it? Hostage?
He's a hostage negotiator. Caught in the crossfires of a civil war, CIA operatives must send a former U.S. diplomat to negotiate for the life of a friend he left behind.
There you go. John Hamm's a hostage negotiator in early 80s Beirut.
You got something in your throat there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. Got some running Beirut frogs. What's Beirutian? Beirutian? I was trying to... Beirutian?
Beirutian.
Beirutian. You want to take a shot at that one, Drew?
No,
not at all. All right, Drew. Well, then, time to step to the plate. What about Rampage? Rampage comes out this week.
No, it doesn't.
No?
Nope.
I thought it did.
Nope. No, not according to the internet movie database.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Chris, be careful what you wish for. Mm-hmm. Everyone always is like, I want new movies to watch, a new TV to watch, a new this, that, the other. Well, now I have so many new movies and so much new TV to watch that I can't even start to chip away at the fucking massive glacier that sits in front of me. And I don't know what to do. Cogburn out.
Drew doesn't know what to do. If you know what Drew needs to do, email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, with your advice as to what Drew can do.
I don't have time to watch all this shit.
He's drowning under all of that sweet, sweet tent, so let him know how he can survive. Guys, let's take a quick break here. Crespo Disco time. I grabbed a song from the Isle of Dogs soundtrack. A lot of, the drums.
I like the drums.
So this is the end credits, because it's almost like a sweet, it's 5-minute song, but it uses a little bit from different themes from throughout the movie, smushes it all together. So check this out, guys. We'll be back with the second half of the show. We got Billy D's Death of the Movies, the Vox Populi, the segment of the people. We got some movie news, the lightning round, Drusek Cogburn versus the world. We have a lot left to do. So here we go. You guys ready?
Do it.
All right.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Yeah! Woo! Come on, Daddy. It's time for Crespo Mania, Drusy Codwin, you're going down.
You got that Ric Flair drip, Chris?
I got that Ric Flair drip from the cocaine, yeah. Dig it. Cream of the crop rises.
It goes woo, Chris.
It goes woo with the vitamins and the steroids and the flavin. That's my wrestling Frink. Okay. Wrestle Frink.
And the somas.
Stone.
Don't forget the somas. So,
those are so important. I mean, all that other stuff jacks you up. I need something to bring you down. To mellow me out.
Just mix in some benzos with it. You'll be fine.
Mellow. Benzo guy. Mellowing us out is, well, first off, that's Sir Cockburn condoning massive pill consumption.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, that's like, he's all about it.
I'm okay with that.
But what is mellowing us out? Chris Fisher from BYOC, Brie. bring your best soft cheeses, guys. Chris wants all your soft cheeses.
All the cheeses.
I love me a good Brie, you know? It's good. It's nice.
I'm a Gouda man.
Gouda.
Gouda. Smoked or unsmoked?
Smoked Gouda,
yes.
Hell yeah.
I am a big Edam fan, but you know, that can be a little pricey, so... you brought us some drinks.
Yeah.
We're drinking now. Herdwerder.
Herdwerder.
Oh, you're going to Herdwerder.
Herdwerder.
Herdwerder. It's from MIA.
MIA Brewing.
MIA Brewing. So, I mean, it's very cool that they're... I like MIA.
Yeah.
So it's cool that they're trying on the... they call it beer, but it's also it says hard sparkling water.
Yeah, hard seltzer is kind of the big trend right now. Yeah. So this is an actual craft brewery, MIA Brewing, who does one of the best IPAs called Neon. If you can get Neon, try it. It's freaking delicious.
Neon. I don't think I've had that one. I've had...
John Mayer's favorite beer.
Is it really?
Well, if it's makes me want to drink it less.
It's good enough for me, man.
Is that the first John Mayer joke ever on the podcast?
Probably. I'm going to go with yes.
That time we talked about his dick, we ever talked about that?
I think we talked about that.
How his dick is like David Duke? I don't know. That's what he said in the interview?
Yeah.
Mayer's an interesting fellow. That was Mayer, right?
I think so.
Mayer.
I was going to say. No, I've had the Miami Vice.
The Hefeweizen.
Right?
Not a fan of that.
And I had the Taurus Trap.
Okay.
Yes.
Try the Mega Mix.
I've had the Mega Mix.
Okay,
I've had that good one too. Yes, Mega Mix. Those are the three that I had. I didn't realize. I've seen this on the shelf too, but the way the MIA is incorporated there in the can, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
MIA Brewing or is that
MIA Brewing?
MIA Brewing.
Because there's a big deal between them and the Miami Brewing that I think there was a lawsuit or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I never hear anything about Miami Brewing anymore, so I guess MIA.
So MIA won. Congratulations, MIA. Yeah, knocked out Miami Brewing. Screw those guys. If you want to sponsor us, PFT Radio Network at gmail.com. Oh, excuse me. So you brought us some hard water, grapefruit flavor. We cracked them on the break. We're sipping on them now. Verdict?
It tastes like Zima.
Drew said right away it tastes like Zima.
Yeah. Straight up.
Better than Zima. I'm not sure if you remember Zima correctly, sir.
I just bought some like a year ago.
Well, there we go.
The re-release.
He remembers it better than you do then.
Yeah.
It does say on the can, he pointed this out though, Drew. It says beer. With
it does say beer,
flavor,
yeah. So. Zima is definitely a malt liquor.
Yeah, right. So a little different there.
MIA is still working hard to perfect their seltzers.
They're still trying to figure it out. You know what? Good for them. At least they're putting something out to market. Sometimes you're not always supposed to put your first draft. In this case, maybe it's a second draft.
You know, I'm surprised Budweiser hasn't just recanned Bud Light as hard seltzer.
Bud Light Lime.
Mm-hmm. Bud Light Lime, boom. Lime seltzer.
Lime seltzer water.
I mean,
the exact same beverage.
Yeah.
They already do the Lime-a-ritas. Mango-rita.
Oh, that's them? That's Bud Light?
That's Bud.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They'll have seltzer here soon, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they don't.
I'm really surprised, too.
So Mike's does White Claw. Mike's our lemonade.
Right.
Who does... there's another one. Not Zima.
Smirnoff Ice?
Smirnoff Ice. They do one. Yes, they...
Smirnoff Ice has been around since the Zima days. Yeah, Zima's first competition, if I remember correctly.
No, not Ice, then. I'm thinking of something else. But it is Smirnoff.
Okay. Okay.
But it's not Smirnoff Ice. You're right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. The seltzer ones.
Yes, they have a seltzer one now.
Yeah.
That comes in the can, which I haven't tried. I think theirs, if you look in the can, it says malt beverage. Most of them say malt beverage. Yeah. White Claw says beer. This one says beer. I'm glad that you brought this one that's from a craft beer. That's really good. Good thing. That's why you're the number one craft brewery going around to different breweries, doing a whole bunch of live shows,
yeah,
brewing show. In Florida? No. In the country? No, in the universe, I must say. I can't think of another one.
In the universe.
That's better. Yeah, that does shows going around the way they do it, Drew, because Drew doesn't listen to podcasts.
I don't listen to podcasts at all.
So don't take it personally if he doesn't.
No, I've been on this podcast. He's been on other podcasts. I've not listened to a single episode of any podcast.
He doesn't know any of the in-jokes or none of the references.
Nope. Right. Don't get it.
He's got none of the t-shirts. He's got a couple magnets, but they're at home on the fridge, so no one sees
not
them.
Not on the car. Everybody steals them.
People would steal them. Yeah. I don't want to put up my Jones fan magnet on my car.
It's going to be gone.
It's a nice magnet. Yeah.
When people do that, man. It's the worst.
Someone said they put a PFT magnet on their car and that got stolen.
Yeah. Huh? It's crazy. People just think, we'll just take everything off your...
It's messed up.
That's my car. You touch my car, you're liable to get your hand taken.
It's messed up. I'm doing the opposite. I'm keeping PFT media magnets in my car. Mm-hmm. And if I see cars out there with like BDM stickers or Swervy Jones stickers, I'm slapping a magnet.
Put them on there.
Like, the magnet fairy came around and bestowed you with gifts. Speaking of which, make sure you walk out of here with some PFT.
Oh, yes, Chris. Absolutely.
Sorry, make sure that happens.
Yes.
BYOCB, guys, check it out. Where can people listen to BYOCB?
Everywhere. Spotify, nice. Google Play, iHeart, all your Apple Podcasts, all your regular places you listen to it. Yeah. And BYOCBShow.com is a website.
There you go, the website. Yeah. There you go. What about, I know you guys got merch and stuff, right? Where can I get a BYOCB shirt at the website?
There's links on the website, and then we're working on new hats. So we're working with a local company here in Orlando to do our first set of hats. Everyone's been asking for the hats. So
doing like the flat brim?
We're doing flat brim and the baseball nerd dad style.
Nice.
So we're going to try and please everyone, and those are going to be coming soon. That's just going to have our logo on it, nice, clean, like a dark navy.
Cool.
With our gold-ish yellow logo on it. So those will be coming out soon. I'm working through the vendor. Getting that stuff set up, it's always difficult, man.
It's a pain in the butt,
tax
man.
Forms.
Yeah,
man.
Especially if you want to do it right, where you can like actually make some money on it. Yeah,
absolutely.
And do it properly, as opposed to, like, I mean, I'm honest. I'm just trying to get a spreadsheet site going over here so I can throw some logos on it. And even that's like a pain in the butt, let alone trying to like work with a local vendor.
I was
doing really, really crafting a good piece of merch. It's cool that you're doing both styles. I understand flat brim is like what the youth are doing.
I can't pull it off.
Yeah, that's what's been in for. I could never pull it off.
Nope, can't do it. I've got a... I guess I just don't have the right shaped head for it.
Is that what it is?
I'm
just not used to it. I need that I haven't curve. To be honest, I haven't worn a baseball hat in forever, but yeah, I need that the stupid curve. I'm gonna curve it in my hands to the point where it looks like a banana. It's ridiculous.
Did you have my friend used to have like the hat curving thing?
Yes.
It was like a thing for it.
You could buy it at Lids.
Oh yeah, I've seen those things.
Where it had the notches and the bands.
It's like a cage.
There
was one that was a cage and you put your hat
in.
Which is
too.
Insane. Yeah. No, I just got a rubber band around that thing or sit there with my hands.
I just use my hands.
Yeah, and then to grease my greasy, dirty, oily teenage hands. Yep. Yeah, sure. That's awesome. Yeah, so BYOCBShow.com?
Yes, that's the website.
Alright, that's the website. Guys, check out the show. We got Chris. We got Alex Moorhead, the Fast Food Jesus, who's been here. Where's the signature?
And right there, Moorhead.
See it right
Boom.
There. Boom.
Hashtag FFJ. Hashtag Nug Life.
Nug Life. Yeah.
And you know what's funny is Drewster looks just like our intern.
Brandon?
He really does.
Yeah. Skinny white guy.
Yeah,
there you go.
I am a dime a dozen, Chris.
You are a dime a dozen.
It's the first person I've ever met who looks like the intern.
That's funny. There you go. Yeah, we should do a photo shoot.
Random white guys.
We're going to swap out random white guys, and then white will make you wear each other's shirts. And it's like, oh, look, they look the same. That'd be a lot of fun. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, some places on the internet.
That's right. Don't look for him on Vero, because he's not there.
Not there.
But look for him on Tinder.
I'm not on there.
He's on. Yeah. Come on, ladies. Do some swiping, ladies. Swipe, right? Swipe right,
swipe
ladies.
Right. Swipe right?
That's just what I
thought. Which way?
Have you done that? Have you ever, like, been swiping in the wrong direction? Chris, I know you're married. Have you ever swiped in the wrong direction for a while and then be like, oh, man, I fucked up. Like, damn
oh,
it.
Oh, no.
I said yes to the wrong ones. No.
Oh, well, I mean, of course, Chris, but there's no rule that says you have to respond to people's...
There isn't. I thought that was one of the rules. I'm responding to all of them.
It's the internet, dude.
Instead of the messages?
There's no rules. It's the internet.
I thought it was nothing but rules.
Zero rules. You're living your internet life wrong.
There are but rules, though.
Well, I mean, there can be.
Did you see? Okay, I saw this online. This is crazy. So, speaking of the internet rules, there are rules now, man. Internet's changing. It's going down. So they passed that law that changed the Internet Common Decency Act that says website proprietors are now responsible for any sex crimes that happen on their website. So before it was like you're not responsible for, if you have a website, you're not responsible for anything. People are responsible for their own crimes.
So who owns Backpage? Because they're going to jail forever.
This is why I brought this.
Is that why Craigslist got rid of their
personal section?
Okay.
So that was the first thing that happened. And the thing is, the law hasn't even, it's going to be signed into effect soon. It's sitting on Trump's desk.
These are businessmen being proactive.
Yes. So, this was the first news story hit a week ago. Oh, wow. Craigslist shut down their personal section entirely.
Of course.
Backpage, this happened 2 days ago as of this recording. I saw this news story. Their website, if you go to their website, oh, I went to their website. I was like, what? I went there. Go to backpage.com. It's been seized by the government.
Oh, no kidding. What?
Yes, and there's like notices there with government seals on it.
Backpage is boom!
You're flagged forever now.
I've looked for so much worse things on the internet. You have no idea.
Drew's in a number of databases right now.
Oh, I'm in so many. I was probably on databases before anybody knew that they were collecting databases on you. I mean, I remember downloading the Anarchist Cookbook off a BBS board.
I've done that.
So
yeah, I got me a printed out dot matrix version.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
The Jolly Roger cookbook.
Mm-hmm, all that stuff. I guarantee you that put us on so many lists.
Yeah, so they put up that thing. It's like, oh, we took this site and other related sites because for sex trafficking and stuff, so they're going to get investigated. So the Backpage people are screwed.
Oh, they're all, done.
And you know who else is screwed? And then this is actually the main article I saw that took me to all of this stuff was about how this addendum to the common decency law, and then we'll start the trivia here in a second. And it's on the face of it, It's really insidious, because on the face of it, it's all about we need to help the children and sex victims, sex trafficking victims, which obviously is a problem that does need to be addressed. But what this does is it shuts down online sex work, because escorts use Craigslist and Backpage and sites like that to vet their clients and to open up their own residences to the Johns can come over, right? Now, with most of these online portals shut down, they're literally like back to street walking.
Ugh.
If you want to be a sex worker. So, you know, it's the continued vilification of the sex worker in modern society.
I mean, it's not like sex work has been around since dawn of time or anything.
It's not like it's the original job, right? The original currency.
There are chimpanzees that trade sex for food.
Yeah, for like rocks and food and stuff. Yeah,
not joking.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely. Prostitution is throughout the animal kingdom, but hey, you know, not when the right people are in charge. We can shut things down like that and make sure. But it's all about the kids.
Cam girl still legal?
Maybe, or is that considered sex work? Maybe, I don't know. That's the thing. What happens on the website?
Go to your favorite cam site later and see if it's still there.
See if it's still there. What happens? Are there message boards? Are there like services available outside of cam work? Because then maybe, they may shut down either preemptively or by the... Oh, man, it's crazy. We're entering the Wild West. The internet is actually coming to an end here pretty soon, which is a bit of a bummer.
The internet was a crazy place.
It was a crazy fun place. We'll talk to our kids about it. Like, man, there was the Silk Road and the dark internet, and there were prostitution websites you could just go to.
You get drugs delivered to your house.
You have to get drugs delivered to my house.
It's sketchy. Super sketchy, man. You think knocking on some dude's door in the ghetto at 3 o'clock in the morning is sketchy? Wait until you got some government agency knocking on your door being like, so we got this package in the mail to your address.
Yeah, it's called the U.S. Postal Service. They do it all the time. I got this package in the mail to your address, sign here, and then I take it, and then I rip it open, and I'm like, pills! Guys, this week's game is called You're Fired! I'm going to name a movie. You tell me whether or not the movie's original director was fired.
Okay. So it's a
50-50 chance, yes or no. Was this director fired?
All right, so it's a guessing game.
Game.
I'm cool with that.
All right, so Drew Sikogren, you won last week. Your record is 8-5.
If you say so.
Do you want to go first? No, you do go first. Do you want Group A or Group B?
I mean, it's 50-50 shot, so we're going to go with A.
Group A. All right, Drew, here you go. Was the director of this movie fired? The original director. Number one, Black Panther.
No.
That is correct. Number two, The Godfather.
No.
That is correct. Number three, Moneyball.
No.
That is incorrect.
All right.
Steven Soderbergh was fired from that movie. Number four, The Outlaw, Josie Wales.
No.
That is incorrect. The original director was fired. Clint Eastwood took over. Number five, Jaws.
No.
That is incorrect. The original director was fired. Steven Spielberg took over.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The original director was fired when he kept calling the shark a whale. Kept referring to it as a
whale. Kill that stupid whale!
And the producers were like, you know what? I don't think this is the right guy. He's fired. So 2 out of 5, you're right, Chris. You need to get 3. You ready?
All right. Let's do this.
Number one, was the director fired for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
No.
Incorrect.
Damn
the original
it.
Director was fired because he couldn't get along with Hunter Thompson. Number two, Catwoman with Halle Berry.
I'm going to say yes.
No!
Damn it!
That man got to make his movie.
It's so rough.
Number three, Back to the Future.
Okay, no.
That is correct. Right. Yes, the actor was fired. Eric Stoltz, but not the director. Number four, War Games.
No.
Incorrect. The original director was fired because they said he was making everyone look too serious. They didn't look like they were having fun making a movie. Martin Brest. Finally, number five, The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, God. I gotta get this just a tie, right?
Yeah.
I think yes.
That is correct.
All right.
He was fired. He went on to then work on the Gone with the Wind right after that. Fired from that.
No kidding. He got fired from two iconic movies.
So since you guys are tied, we have a tiebreaker. So we need a piece of paper. Here we go. Okay. All right. So you take that. Here's a pen. And here is a pen. All right, guys. So here we go. Tiebreaker. Closest to the pin. What year did Mr. Deeds Goes to Town come out? The original Mr. Deeds. Oh, Adam Sandler did the remake in the 2000s. What year did the original Mr. Deeds Goes to Town? We're doing closest to the pin. Over, under, doesn't matter. Over, under, doesn't matter. All right.
Pick a number, man.
Yeah. So our answers are in. Yeah. Here we go.
Way off.
All right, so Mr. Fisher, you said 1961.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Drew, you said 1964.
Oh, no kidding.
Mr. Deed Goes to Town came out in 1936.
Yeah!
Well done.
Yes.
Well done. There we go. Knocking Drew down to a record of 8-6.
We were both way off.
Oh, yeah. We obviously, neither of us had any idea what was going on.
No. Mr. Deeds goes to remember Jimmy Stewart. He's like, oh, yeah, Mr. Senator. Nope. There's a giant rabbit here.
Nope.
It's Christmas.
Nope.
Okay. Adam Sandler made it. He was a...
Never saw that one
Winona
either.
Ryder. John Turturro plays a Puerto Rican house servant who is very, very sneaky. No. He's got a black foot, an all-black foot.
A sneaky Puerto Rican.
He's a sneaky Puerto Rican, yeah, played by John Turturro. So not racist, I don't know. Not a racist portrayal of subservient Puerto Ricans by the race. People, listen to BYOCB. It's a great show.
Yeah.
And we're definitely going to have, we're glad you're back. We're definitely going to have Alex Moorhead back. Sweet. Should we have the intern on? I don't know, the intern?
I don't know if he's allowed to do podcasts.
I know, right? After he gets past intern status.
Yeah.
Once you decide to promote him to line producer or something like that.
I don't think he's ever going to get promoted.
No, there we go. You're going to be on the podcast.
All right, sorry. Sorry, Brandon.
Sorry, dude.
BYOCB, last B does not stand for Brandon.
Nope. No, he does a great job. I'm just giving him shit.
But that's what interns are for, right?
Absolutely.
That's why we don't have one here, because I would relentlessly torment he or she. Probably involves him sort of hanging upside down, tasering of genitalia.
And that's part of our tick and tack. We just like insulting each other.
That is our tick and tack. He's the tick, I'm the tack. He's the tick, I'm Arthur.
We're cloning his penis for charity. I mean, come on.
That's exactly what it turns.
I see you looking over there.
Drew's thinking about
how's
it.
How's that going to work?
He thought about it for a second. Let me drink a little bit more of this Herdritter.
It's Herd.
Herdritter.
It's me, a Herdritter. Ah, grapefruity. All right, guys, real quick, plug for us. May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, come to the Stranded Sailor Pub in Sanford. I'm not sure the exact time for us specifically, but Drusick Cogburn, and I will be there doing live podcasting. It's our first ever live podcasting event, and there will be we'll be in a room inside the pub. There's all right. So what's happening? Starting at 3 p.m., live bands playing all day. Like 10 different bands playing, including Moonren from Mars, which is Fritz's band from Fort Fritz. They'll be playing. Between the bands, while they're setting up on stage, instead of like playing music on the PAs, we're going to have live podcasting going on.
That's awesome.
So Peter from Scotch and Good Conversation will interview some people. We'll be there doing some Cinema Crespity. So What's the Fuss will be there early in the day doing their whole show from like 12 to 2 or 1 to 3 or something like that. I have no idea. So we'll be doing live podcasting. People can come out and hear that, and then there'll be PA stuff that people can hear it, either out front or out back. There'll be food trucks there, vendors selling stuff. It's a huge event. It's going to be a lot of fun. Cinco de Mayo, which also happens to be Steve Etchie's birthday.
All right.
Yeah, so we would love to see you out there, guys. Please come out to the Get Rad Records PFT Media Party at the Stranded Sailor Pub in Sanford on May 5th. That's an all-day event on Saturday. Also, shout-outs to Peter from Scotch and Good Conversation. He's doing his first official Scotch meetup, Scotch A Good Conversation meetup. That's at La Femme du Fromage, yes. One of his clients at the East End Market.
420.
And what's perfect for 420? Grilled cheese sandwiches. Artisanal grilled cheese sandwiches, Drew. So we'll be there hanging out with Peter, trying some grilled cheese sandwiches and beer pairings.
Craft beer pairing.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And he's also going to be recording some stuff and giving out stickers and pins and things.
I love Peter so much.
He's the best. We love hanging out with him. So we'll be there supporting that. We'd love to see you there as well. And then also, real quick, if you like the whiskeys, if you like drinking, if you like craft beer, there's Whiskey Business is a whiskey tasting event. Orlando Weekly does it. It's a fourth year they are doing it. It is on the 27th, I believe, Friday the 27th. If you go to their website and you use the promo code PFTMedia, you get $5 off a ticket.
Nice.
So there you go. $5 off using PFT Media code at whiskeybusinessorlando.com. It's unlimited whiskey, bourbon, scotch, craft beer tastings.
Ooh.
There's going to be food there, live music, live burlesque performances. It's going to be a big deal, guys. And Orlando Weekly reached out to us. And, you know, I talked a lot of shit about Orlando Weekly, the best of stuff. I hate that best of stuff. I think it's corny as hell, and it's just a ploy for them to make more monies on ads. That being said, they gave us some free media passes. So,
all right.
We're going to have What's the Fuss is going to be out there. That's going to be like a bull in a china shop. It's going to be a lot of fun. So excited to see
what Unlimited whiskey.
Oh my god. Yes, Rocky and Rye and Steve
Etchie. Kids and Brown drink.
They're going there with a I'm sending Steve with a camera. Like, make sure you film this. This is gonna be great.
Yeah, you should send him with an Uber gift certificate too.
No, they're Ubering. No one's driving. No one is driving. But you can hang out with the What's the Fuss guys, and as well as most, if not all, of the Poking the Bear folks will be there. Big Tim Murphy.
Hi, baby.
Charlie Bowie, Ryan Holmes, who, knock on wood, hopefully Monsters Comedian of the Year, Ryan Holmes. We'll see. Pulling for him. They'll be there as well. And then, I got to have a spare ticket. Peter from Scotch Good Conversation can't go. He'll be out of town. So
you should go.
Sure, you want to go?
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't know. It's a Friday. I'm usually seeing movies. Mm-mm. I got to go see a movie. Mm-mm. You know what? 27th, you know what a movie? Actually, no. Actually, 27th, I'll be recording Swervy Jones Show. That's why I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, we'll be seeing Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, oh, that's coming out?
Yeah, the 26th. Wow. The 26th is Avengers, 27th, Whiskey Business, but I'll be at Swervy Jones. So maybe we'll find another PFT person to head out there. All right, so there you go. Plugs are out of the way. Cinema Crespity. So on Instagram and join our Facebook group to see what we're doing out there. Let's do Drewster Cogburn, Billy D's Death of the Movies.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Ow! You metal, dude! We're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death. Death at the Movies. Drew Cogburn reads the emails every week. Drew was afraid we weren't going to get a Billy D's Death at the Movies because it's Billy D's Death at the Birthdays this weekend. Yeah, shout out to Billy D, our birthday boy. Newly married Billy D. Chris, you seem to have a successful family life going on.
Yes.
Can you partake any advice on the newly recently married Billy D real quick?
Oh, gosh. Drink a lot of cold 45.
All right.
Oh, poor guy doesn't drink.
Yeah, he's a teetotaler now, but drink the cold 45s in spirit, because Billy D is almost as smooth.
Almost.
Almost as smooth as Billy D. Williams.
I mean, come on. You got to live the dream of Lando. Come
you
on,
do.
Man.
Orlando Calrissian. That's he's our man, Billy D. We appreciate him. Bill, take it away, Drew.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Bill?
This week, I saw Between the Buried and Me with Leprous, Matthew Norwegian Rock, and The Deer Hunter, triple guitar, double keyboard, triple vocal attack. And everyone was awesome. It was a super interesting and proggy lineup.
Okay.
Chef Brian and the Asian Sensation and I had a fucking blast. See this tour if you're so inclined.
Hey, Chef Brian, is that the guy who made the wedding cake?
Mm-hmm.
Man, this guy can make a goddamn cake, Chris. Oh, my God, let me tell you.
There
are, like, pieces of cannoli shell in it or something. I don't know. It was ridiculous.
The whole thing was filled with cannoli
cream. The whole thing was filled with cannoli cream!
Oh, my God.
That was so good.
I caught some DJ, too, on the LES. Das Mortal. Super fun synth dark
yes.
dance music.
Das Mortal is awesome.
A lot of goth ponytail ravers at the club. I found this guy because he had a great music videos, and his stage video setup was really well done. Hmm. I think I enjoy his visuals as much as his music.
Cool, yeah. I Das Mortal's good.
I finally succumbed to Hulu's nagging and took them up on a month of free watching. We chose a found footage movie called Phoenix Forgotten last night.
Phoenix Forgotten? Found footage? Okay.
It's about a girl who's making a documentary about her brother, who disappeared shortly after the Phoenix Lights phenomenon in 1997.
All right, you know about the Phoenix Lights?
No.
This is, like you said, 97, Phoenix, mm-hmm. Arizona. Mm-hmm. There's a few documentaries about this. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing about this is that there's footage, real footage.
Okay.
And No. The craziest thing about it is that the mayor of Phoenix from the time went on national television and said, there are fucking aliens above my town.
Well, I don't know if they said aliens. They said UFOs, which is what it was. Yeah. Unidentified flying objects over Phoenix one night, a series of like six big circles that were lights were passed very slowly over the city
in
very
a triangular low formation.
In a formation, stayed in formation, and then at the end, and then disappeared.
Whoa.
And that's, and the thing is, there is tons of footage from different angles of this light formation.
Everybody agrees that it happened.
Everyone, so there's no denying that
there's no denying that it happened.
Just no one knows.
Nobody knows what the fuck it was.
What it was. Now, obviously, it's Occam's Razor. It's a government aircraft of some sort.
Right.
They didn't want to say what it was, but you know, you want to freak out and be like, "Oh man, it's aliens!" So, if you do like a Wikipedia search on Phoenix Lights, you'll fall down an internet rabbit hole.
Yeah,
you'll come out days later talking about chemtrails and.
Should have been the name of the WNBA Phoenix franchise. Should have been the Phoenix Lights.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
So
that would have been awesome. So, did they have a team? What was their team name?
I think they. I don't know. Who watches WNBA?
The Phoenix Starlets. Is it still a thing? The WNBA.
I don't know.
The Miracle are gone, right?
I think they're long gone.
Oof, yeah, man, it's sad. Sorry, ladies. It's just no one wants to watch technically precise basketball.
Yeah.
you want to see some dunking, and not just Tim Duncan.
So, after the Phoenix Lights phenomenon in 1997, and hilariously, she finds footage he left behind. Footage-ception.
Okay, so she's making the documentary footage movie, and then she finds footage. Then you're watching the footage. Footage-ception. Okay,
mm-hmm. I had fun with this. It was ridiculous and surprisingly well-made for one of these films. Stay cool, Billy D.
Oh, okay, so I actually seem to like it.
Apparently it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. But then again, Billy D's threshold for horror films and suspense films is a lot lower than ours. Because he watches so many of them. Mm-hmm. You know, he just likes that kind of stuff. But he can follow Bill all over the internet at I Love Blood. He's a great guy. All right, let's do the segment of the people. This is the voice of the people, the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
All right, I will say before we start the Vox Populi, a Herdwitter.
Herdwitter.
While not...
Mia Herdwitter.
The Mia Herdwitter. While I'm not, like, in love with it, because we were talking about, like, they didn't perfect the process.
Yeah.
It's easy to drink.
It is.
And why? I'm pretty much done with it.
Because it tastes like water.
So can you grab me a beer? What is it you bring over there?
I was talking about a couple different things. So Room City IPA, which is brewed at Brew Hub, which is in Lakeland.
Okay.
That won the gold medal for best session IPA in the Great American Beer Fest. So I got you. We talked about my adventure to try and get you the freshest.
Yeah, off mic.
Difficult. Yeah. And then I brought you an Uinta, a tangerine hop notch IPA. So which one do you want to go?
Which one you mentioned? Give me that that session IPA, that award that over at Brewhub, because then that ties into our homies Orange Blossom Brewing, also over at Brewhub in Lakeland. They're doing some great things over there, and we definitely recommend you check out Orange Blossom Brewing, OBP. Thank you, sir. Hello. All right, Rome City IPA, India Pale Ale, packed with the juicy goodness of hops. In an homage to our flagship brewery in Lakeland, Florida.
I tell a quick story about this one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they just had a beer rev where I hang out. They just had a blind taste test. So they tied in the March Madness bracket from the college basketball.
Okay.
And they did blind taste test for IPA. So they did different regions, and you go in and buy a flight of four.
Okay.
And you would vote on your favorite. So this actually won the overall tournament, which had beers from all over the state of Florida.
Wow.
And they won.
That's very really nice. Cool. I like the can. Look at that origami design there. Really cool. Mm-hmm. Rome City IPA. All right, this is good stuff. And then you said you had to hunt for the freshest one.
Yeah, this is not
January 12th. You know what?
Yeah,
it's right around my birthday.
It's pretty fresh.
It's right around our birthdays, Drew. Happy birthday, Drew.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Mm.
Still good though.
That is good. That's good stuff. And it's only a 5.8, which is So it's a nice session IPA.
Barely a session.
Oh, sorry, I got a little bit of herd ritter left. Mm. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Got an email from Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. He's got Ready Player One and A Quiet Place review.
All right, Scott, let's hear it, buddy.
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One.
So, after finally watching this, I listened to your spoiler bonus episode.
Spoilers!
And what I came away feeling from that pod was how truly happy I am that I hate reading books.
Read a book, Scott.
Ready Player One would be right up my alley with the sci-fi and heavy pop culture riffs.
Sure.
I'm sure I'd love it. Thankfully, for whatever reason, my brain has never really been capable of absorbing information in text from the way it does in video form.
Hmm.
It might even be an undiagnosed learning disability, but it's clearly why I lean so heavily toward film and TV.
Okay.
So as much as I might have loved the book version, I'm glad I haven't read it. I would hate to have something to compare and contrast and pick apart whatever flaws there were in the movie I just saw. Because the movie Ready Player One was pure fun. It's cotton candy plus dope action sequences, and maybe the second greatest video game movie ever made, at least in my book. Number one is still Edge of Tomorrow. Hey, did you notice how the best video game movies aren't based on actual video games? But is the movie perfect? Of course not, but it is delightful, a joy to watch, and so rewatchable, if only to identify more and more pop culture characters that you missed the first time. It's fucking Chucky. What a great line. I just wish they hadn't burned Chucky in the trailers, because, yo, I'd have a panic attack if I didn't already know he was coming.
Chucky was in the trailers?
Three stars. Yeah, he was.
Oh, man, I skipped that trailer. I skipped that trailer, Scott.
It wasn't like
skip some trailers.
It wasn't the line, but during the big fight montage, they spliced a scene of Chucky onto a dude in the big fight montage.
I do remember seeing. Yeah, you do see Chucky real quick when he shoots Freddy Krueger as well.
Yep.
Trailer.
But even though that
trailer trickery, trailer lies.
Exactly.
That's what's going on.
A Quiet Place.
Marketing lies. A Quiet Place with John Krasinski.
First, props to the editors of the trailers for omitting some key elements about the plot and characters.
Mm-hmm.
I won't spoil, but those who saw trailers, then saw the movie, know what I'm talking about, I think.
I think so.
Second, I'm calling it right now. John Krasinski will be to 2018 what Jordan Peele was to 2017.
Nah.
Actors be stepping out and making masterpieces on their own. He is going to get so many award nominations for this. Mark my words. The last time I
hold on a second. Marked. Okay.
The last time I had such a visceral movie watching experience in theaters was Dunkirk, and that ended up being my number one movie of 2017.
Oh, wow.
Will A Quiet Place be my number one of 2018? Time will tell. But here's I know.
Tom will tell?
What Nolan executed with Dunkirk so masterfully via spectacle and volume, Krasinski matches in A Quiet Place with tension and silence. I was riveted to my seat. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to make a sound. I'm getting over a cold, and yet I still waited for the occasional loud moments in the movie to cough or even clear my throat. Of course, there was that one asshole who chose a squeaky seat in the theater, but he didn't get up and move to
squeaky
anchor.
Squeaky seat, see?
Yeah. So he was just squeaking through all the gloriously crafted silent moments. Fucking cunt that guy. It's a monster movie, and it's a family drama. Sure, it has a few nitpicky issues if you want to pick nits, but I just don't.
I can pick nits.
Feels I got from sitting in a theater and watching this film, even with Squeaky Chair Guy.
Squeaky Chair Guy.
Last thing, I'd really love to see a cut of this movie without its score, which was superb. I want to see and hear a version of this film that's only the sounds within the movie itself, nothing else. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that experience is like. 4 stars. Take care, Scott.
Man, Scott loved A Quiet Place. Sorry about getting awards and comparing it to Get Out. I don't know. I wouldn't put it on a Get Out level.
It was good.
Like, Get Out had me. It sounds like Get Out had me the way A Quiet Place had him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he loved it. Which one was better?
For me, Get Out.
Okay.
I love Get Out. A Quiet Place. I feel like A Quiet Place, from what I'm seeing online, a lot of other people are liking it way more. I like it, but
well, see, here,
some people are like loving it.
Here's the thing. A Quiet Place is more of like a traditional monster horror movie.
With the like the sound design element being the...
Being the big draw.
Yeah, the forward thinking part. Yeah.
Get Out.
And having like a deaf character.
Get Out is more like the horrors of man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
Like the deepest, darkest depths of human awfulness.
Yeah, A Quiet Place never gets to, like, oh, we're the real monsters. Never takes that turn.
No,
yeah.
Because we are.
It's very earnest on its face about what it is, and yeah, that's fine. It's good.
It was still a great movie.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it, for sure. It's, and the quietness. But
the quietness definitely...
But you brought it up,
that's
though.
The selling point.
Just like you said.
Yeah.
Squeaky chair.
Yep.
It's a quiet movie, so you're hearing everything in the theater.
Everything.
And one asshole won't turn his cell phone off.
Right. Cell phone rang at least twice in the screen that we saw it.
Don't you look at the warnings they tell you.
The big screen in front of you saying, silence your phone, you jerk off. When we went to the Alamo Draft House in Brooklyn, they're like aggro about how they're like, silence your phone now, do it now, shut it off, we will kick you the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, we're right.
That's honestly how it should be.
No, but it really has to be. They also have a system where, at the Draft House, so it's the type of place where you get table service. So if you want food, you fill out a card and then you stick it on the front of your chair.
And if
then they see the card and they come and they pick up the card and they walk away.
Same thing if homeboy's being a jerk off next to
you can
write it on the card and put it up there and then they will deal with it
and
for you.
Anonymously. So it's not like you walk up to the manager and you point to the guy and then the manager and the guy knows you're talking about me. It's like he takes the card, he walks away. And he thinks, I'm just ordering
to get the bouncer.
I'm just ordering a beer. I'm just ordering a bagel. Oh, here comes the bouncer. He's like, shut off your phone or I will kill you. We will tase you here in front of everyone. You will become the entertainment. It's intense at the Alamo Draft House, but I appreciate that. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate the email and the reviews of Ready Player One and A Quiet Place. Anything else, Drew?
No, that's it. That's the Vox Pipeline.
That's it for the Vox Pipeline, a segment of the people. Remember, you can email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. This is your segment, people. You use it or lose it. That's how it works. All right, Drew, are you ready?
For
the movie news!
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about
navigating
the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, time for the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespity. So movie news segment. Jennifer Garner took her children to Hawaii to see Ben Affleck. What a loving mother keeping that family together despite their parental travails, of course. Anna Faris and Chris Pratt still separated. But most importantly, Chris Fisher, we need to know what's up with the Biebs.
This is breaking news. Biebs hurt his ankle playing soccer. I really feel like the Biebs.
What?
The Biebs is, I think, living the soccer life. Is there hope that Orlando City will eventually sign Justin Bieber?
Oh my God!
Because I feel like you could have him play, and then he could do the halftime show, and then he just he just never leaves the field.
Never even leave the field, just out there.
Yeah, it's the most agonizing picture of him spraining his ankle very violently.
Oh really?
Yes.
Oh,
poor Biebs.
Poor Biebs. First off, I am behind your plans. I have Orlando City sign him.
Yes.
And to perform halftime, I am there. I am buying season tickets front row from here on out, as long as they have Justin Bieber. Ka-ka! Kyle Laren gone. Forget about it. What? Who cares?
They can just chin him.
Justin Bieber.
They can just chin him to the middle of the field. He can just live there.
I'm fine with that. Or the middle of the field, like it rises up and he's chained, and then yes, I'm totally fine with that. It's better than what he's doing now. You know, he's also apparently very much in love with Selena Gomez and really trying to get her back. He really wants her back. We love Justin Bieber.
He's on
here.
That Jesus.
Actually, we don't love Justin Bieber. We just love Justin Bieber updates.
He's on that Jesus. He's hardcore on that Jesus.
He is very hardcore on that Jesus, but Jesus couldn't protect his ankle unless that's part of Jesus' plan. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Guys, now that we got the Justin Bieber update out of the way, now it's time for the second most important part of the most important segment in all podcasting. You got that, Drew?
No.
It is time for... Oh, I already...
Is it importantception?
It is an importantception. It is an important segmentception as we do. Brought to you by Cinema Crespediso, presented by the Movie News segment, the one and only This Week in Rape Culture. That's right, Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, boy.
Had to get himself one of these PR firms that you know, that repairs your horrible image. It's like, it's a PR.
Good luck with that.
It's exactly.
It's the worst job ever.
I want to see the bill for this.
Exactly. But that's the thing. There are PR firms that they do crisis management.
They can do it for some reason.
Who does Mel Gibson hit up? Who do any of these people? In the last year or so, these people are busy as fuck too.
Yeah, yeah. They gotta quench the fire.
But they work. I mean, Martha Stewart. She had to hire one after she got sent to prison.
Yeah,
bigger than ever. She's got a TV show with Snoop Dogg.
That was taxed stuff, though. I mean, come on.
That is a little different being taxed stuff. We're talking about Harvey Weinstein, who's a human monster.
Yes.
Barely human. He's a monster pig. Excuse me.
He's a MIG.
He's a MIG. And this MIG hired a crisis PR firm. Crisis PR firm. Working on him for months. Has it worked? Did they fire him? They parted ways.
Of course. They're like... We can't do this, man.
They're like, we got nothing for you. You are screwed, buddy. In the week since that came out, like a week ago, just a few days ago, announced Weinstein found himself another PR firm to step up. So he's still trying. He expects, close anonymous sources say that he expects at the end of all this to come back.
He's like, crazy, right?
So, yeah, he is crazy. He expects to come back, to be back in Hollywood.
He's done. No way.
Making movies. Yeah, he doesn't foresee the future where he will be in prison.
He'll be in jail in either the state of New York or the state of California.
I was going to say, LAPD is investigating him, NYPD is investigating him, Scotland Yard is investigating him.
Oh, wow. You better off staying here in the States, bud.
So he's internationally screwed.
He's got less than 5 years, in my opinion.
I think so. I one of the few things that keeps me going is when I wake up in the morning, I imagine what's... The final Weinstein downfall is going to be great. And I'm looking forward to the Trump indictments and the prison sentence.
Weinstein, his best case scenario is he talks to a very smart businessman. He puts all of his assets in other people's names. He goes to prison for 5 to 10 years. And when he gets out, he might be able to still be rich.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
If he does it right.
Probably not.
If he does it right.
If he does it right, he may walk out of all this with like $2 million in a short prison sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it still acceptable to go watch the old Weinstein movies?
That's the thing. I'm going to still watch Tarantino movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because Weinstein's name pops up as a producer on an older film, it's like, oh, now I got to shut this off.
He did Scream, right? That was there, the Weinstein?
That was Miramax. So yeah, I think their names are attached to the Scream movies. Okay. But then again, they're just producers, though. Weinstein doesn't have a creative bone in his body.
Right.
They're smart businessmen, and they knew how to find smaller movies. He did have decent taste. So he could find movies that he was like, this is actually a good movie. I think you can find an audience. That was what they were good at for a long time. But when it comes to actually having input into movies, none whatsoever. And then with like Tarantino, due to the way he treated Uma Thurman... Tarantino movies going back to Kill Bill, he was like not allowed to be on set. He couldn't be on set for the Kill Bill movies because of Uma Thurman. He wasn't allowed. Tarantino was like, either I'm making this movie with you off set or I'm making it with another company. So Weinstein left. And then when it came to Inglourious Basterds, it's the same thing. I'm making this movie because of Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt hated him. Look, if Brad Pitt's going to be in my movie, that means you can't be on set. He hates you. And he's like, all right, fine. Because that goes back to the way he treated Gwyneth Paltrow. In the 90s when Brad Pitt and Paltrow were dating.
Yeah.
So there was plenty of people who knew Weinstein was a shit and didn't work with him, but he was still working. Now that it's really out in the open, he's dunzo bunzo going to the going to prison. And yeah, Drew, you're right. Maybe he comes the other end with $1 million.
Yeah, yeah. If he's lucky, he'll be coming out of prison with some money in his pocket.
With a little bit of dough.
He's still going to
he
prison.
Maybe he could pull a Martin Shkreli.
Yeah.
Do 7 years, then come out of the other end. He's expected to come out of prison with $5 million, Martin Shkreli. So
he'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Boo-hoo. At least he's in Max. That's the only good thing.
Yeah.
He's in max security because he deserves it. He's a piece of shit. All right, here we go. Getting out of this week in rape culture, and now just getting into some slightly more normal stories. I have two stories here that I'm going to highlight, and then we're going to wrap this thing up. First off, True Detective, Season 3. Being worked on right now at HBO.
Okay.
The first season, everyone loved it.
Loved it.
Second season, everyone hated it.
Didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it. It was a bad buzz, right?
Yep. HBO had too much input.
What they wanted was fast. Yeah. They wanted, give me season two. And the creator was like, okay, let me try to meet your deadline. Made something that people didn't like as much. Because, you know, season one, he honed it forever.
Yeah.
Season two, he tried to make it on a timetable, didn't work. So, they were all very upfront about this. This is why we noticed. HBO announced, we're going to do a season three. We're not going to put a timetable on it. We're going to let this dude...
do his thing.
Do his thing.
We're going to fix it.
We're going to right this ship. So now what happened was season three. The creator decided that he was going to co-direct every episode with another director. They got the guy who did Blue Ruin and Green Room, two of my favorite movies, Jeremy Saulnier, to co-direct every episode of True Detective Season 3. They did episodes 1 and 2, and now they left. Jeremy Saulnier, Drew, has left.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm.
The director is gone. So maybe they haven't announced, will the creator just finish the series on his own? Will they find another director to come in and help him out? Because he hasn't directed anything before. Mm-hmm. But the guy that they got to help him out left because of creative differences. So now season three, is that going to work? Is that going to be up in the air?
Interesting.
Kind of ties into our game where people getting fired for movies and stuff.
Yeah.
The Solo movie that's come out in May, those directors got fired. Lord Miller, you know, which is a bummer. But then they went and got Ron Howard. So who knows how the movie's going to turn
out. Do we have the cast for three? Do we know?
Yes, we do. Who is in it? Interesting cast, as a matter of fact. I'm looking. I should have had this information ahead of time. Because the first season had Woody Harrelson, Matthew McConaughey, which is great.
Which was fantastic.
Fantastic cast. Second season...
Vince Vaughn, right?
Vince Vaughn.
Was it Ed Norton?
And... No, not Ed Norton. It was, what's her name? I'm thinking Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
And the dude Taylor Kitsch from the Friday Night Lights.
Okay. All right. I think it was Ed Norton.
what the fuck? Season three, taking place in the Ozarks.
Okay.
Tells the story of a crime that happens in the Ozarks and happens over the course of decades. Stars Mahershala Ali, who just had his biggest role in Luke Cage as a Cottonmouth, right? Mm-hmm. Was the name of his character. Also, this season is being co-written by David Milch, who did like Deadwood and stuff like that, which is intense. Steven Dorff, Scoot McNairy, Ray Fisher, who was just Cyborg in the Justice League movie.
Your boy Scoot?
My boy Scoot's in it, Drew! So, season three, True Detectives, should debut, it says here, according to Variety, next year. Next year, so we'll see. Season two, I would say, Chris, if you like season one, watch it.
Okay.
Because stylistically, it's similar.
Yeah. Is it the same song in the intro, or do they change it up?
I honestly can't remember.
Okay.
Because I only saw it the one time that it initially aired. I can't remember the theme song. The images are different. The images are always different because it's images based on the show.
Right.
I can't remember if it's the same song.
Okay.
Stylistically, it's similar, and there's some interesting things. The scene where she has to infiltrate the orgy is really intense.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact... actually, if I recall,
that whole episode is pretty crazy.
Wasn't Brett Rice? No, I'm gonna look that up. See, that's something I feel like I should know that. But right there, that signature right there.
Yeah, Brett Rice.
Brett Rice. I think Brett Rice was in that scene.
I just watched him in Remember the Titans the other day.
Yes, and... Remember the Titans with Ryan Gosling and Brett Rice is a lot of fun. People can check out that past episode.
I actually like Vince Vaughn. I know he gets a lot of heat, but I enjoy Vince Vaughn. And I like Rachel McAdams.
It all depends on what he does.
I love Rachel McAdams. With Vince Vaughn, it's more of a, because I just rewatched a little bit of Swingers.
Mm-hmm.
Man,
it's one of my favorite movies.
He is so good in that movie. It's a great movie, and he's really good in it. Yeah, he was in Brett Rice. So you passed the guest of the show. Brett Rice was in season two of them. And one of my favorite episodes, which is when, spoiler. I don't know, it's not really a spoiler. Rachel McAdams plays, she's a cop, right?
Yeah.
And she goes undercover as a hired prostitute to a Eyes Wide Shut party.
Mm-hmm.
And on the way in, all the girls, they make all the girls, like, they spray something in each one of their mouths, and it's pretty much like Molly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, they drug them all up. So the rest of the scene is her, like, stumbling around this party, trying to get the information she needs, but then it's like a fucked up Eyes Wide Shut party. Okay. And then Brett Rice shows up, and he's like, I was in Super 8. Like, oh my God, it's Brett Rice.
What is her hair color in...
Brunette.
Okay.
Dyed blonde?
Wait, blonde? Maybe?
No, I think it's the old, like, dyed blonde, and then it's grown out, so you see the roots, like, okay, a decent amount of roots.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what
she's... I like her as a brunette.
Yeah, I like, she's a natural brunette. Yeah. But in this show, she's definitely playing the, like, the cop who doesn't have her shit together, you know, one step away from alcoholic.
Yeah.
Pretty typical
okay
TV show movie cop.
Yep. Bangs
except,
random dudes
except
at
that
bars.
It's Rachel. Yeah, banging random dudes at bars. Like, I need to get off. I need to get the stress out somehow. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There's a True Detective story. And then this story, it just warmed my heart real quick because it also ties into Orlando. Neil Patrick Harris put out on Instagram a picture of him, his husband, okay, and their two kids. Yes, their two kids. Well, that's an older picture. Well, here's an older picture, anyway, of Neil Patrick Harris and his husband and their two kids at California Adventure, right? Yeah. But he put out another post very recently of them in Orlando,
yes,
at Disney World. And what he wrote in the post is very sweet. And, you know, here's a little bit of good news. We start with the This Week in Rape Culture. Let's end with something sweet. Neil Patrick Harris wrote, I took a family vacation to Orlando with my husband and our two kids, who were then maybe two or three, and we went on Peter Pan's flight. Well, the first time we wrote it, I was with my family at Disney riding a ride, and I was just bawling because I just thought it was an awesome thing. My parents took my brother and I there, and so it was fun to relive that through and with their eyes. So he remembers going there as a kid.
Yep.
And now his kids.
And now he's there.
That's a big thing for me. Because yeah, it's, right? You know, going on. Well, of course, they change all the attractions, but Peter Pan's still the original.
Sure,
man.
Yeah.
Peter Pan's still there. It's still the original, and you have to get a fast pass or else you're not going to get
on. Or else you're never
going to get on it.
Disney's got that on lockdown now. You got to pay all the extras for everything. But the idea, it's a nice sentimental idea of, you know, you do things with... when you're a kid, and then you want to share those experiences with your next generation and stuff. And it's cool that it's Neil Patrick Harris doing over at Orlando. It's always nice to see our city reflected in a positive way.
I'm wondering, who is the bigger Disney fan, Neil Patrick Harris or Stamos? Because Stamos is always putting out stuff that
he's really
Disney, always there.
At Disney World or
here
Disneyland?
Here and in L.A.
No way. I did not know that.
In Anaheim, yeah.
Good old Mr. Stamos. Just married himself. He's going to be starting his own family memories at Disney World.
And still looks the same. So kind of doesn't age.
It's all that the olive oil. The
oikos.
The Greeks. Yeah. It's all the oikos and olive oil that Greeks rub into their skin and all that time. That Mediterranean. The fiery Damn Mediterranean. Shout out to John Stamos. I'm sure he's listening.
Hair. He just takes the grease from his hair and smooths it into his face.
Or does he take the olive oil and then mushes it into his hair? And that's why his hair is so beautiful.
It is.
Just get fat, Stamos. Please.
Yeah, get fat and some Good. Wrinkles already, you HGH-loving son of a bitch. That's alleged. I don't know. Drew, when are you going to start your family and take your family to Disney World and start some family memories, Drew?
No kids, Chris, ever.
No kids ever.
No kids ever.
No kids ever.
Nope.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever, ever.
Ever, ever.
Ever, ever.
Ever, 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 ever. Ever. No, thank you.
You know who has kids the fastest? People who say shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 35 years strong, so...
Well, 35 is a new 15. All right, here we go, guys. Let's wrap it up.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round.
All right, here we go. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Chris,
yes.
You ready?
Yes, go.
Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, have you ever used a Japanese toilet?
No.
Number two, where is the best barbecue?
Pig Floyd's.
Pig Floyd's. All right. Number three, I've never had Pig Floyd's. Number three, would you rather sleep on a beach or do yoga in a volcano?
Oh, yoga in a volcano.
Number four, can you hum the A-Team theme song?
Mm-mm-mm-mm. No, that's something else. No, I can't.
Number five, would you rather bring back Chris Farley, Ooh, Phil Hartman, or Genghis Khan?
Phil Hartman.
All right. Number six, what is your favorite episode of The Simpsons?
Oh, God. Never watch it. No. Haven't watched it in so many years.
All right. Number 7, have you ever been sued?
No.
Number 8, what is the best wrestling event you've ever attended?
Oh, shit. WrestleMania last year, Orlando.
There you go. Number 9, M&M's or Reese's Pieces.
Reese's.
And finally, number 10, Reese's Pieces or Reese's Pieces.
PCs.
PCs. All right, Juicer Cogburn, break out the swaggery. We got the polka dot bag. We got the red bag. Which one do you maybe want to go home with?
I like polka dots in honor of Dusty Rhodes.
Dusty Rhodes, yeah, Daddy. Stinky doo-doo. Shout out to Daniel Dennis. Green bag, because he made, has a joke about Dusty Rhodes and doo-doos.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't listen to any of that stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about. Sir, you might get to go home with a 2-pack of plain spoons.
Yes.
Fly into your mouth.
Open the hanger and bring in the food to your mouth.
We've got a Magic Grow, Mega Grow.
All right.
It looks like a stingray. It's made in Jacksonville, Florida, so okay. At least it's local.
All right. Yes, craft local toys.
We've got a keychain calculator.
Nice. Perfect.
Cinema Crest produced a bootleg edition of The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938.
Oh, wow.
With Errol Flynn, yeah. Okay.
We've got a WWE Nano Metal Figs of
yes,
The Undertaker.
What?
So perfect.
And a bunch of stickers.
Awesome. Now, Chris, you know what's in that bag. You can take that bag home and share it with your kids, and they can play with it. Or we put the bag away, and you said you take what Trusa Cogburn has in the box right over here.
What's in the fucking
box? We got the box. We got the bag. You know what's in the bag.
Yeah.
You don't know what's in the box. What do you want to do?
Last time I was here, I said always the box, but I can't turn down that growing stingray. I'm sorry. I'm taking the bag.
Yeah, we're taking the bag.
Thank you.
We're taking the bag. We're taking the Undertaker.
Yes.
We're taking the stickers. We'll make sure you also get one of them PFT Media magnets. There we go. That's the end of the show. Chris, thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me on.
It was a lot of fun.
Be on with Drewster.
Yes, yeah. Finally. We got to fix that one. That's excellent. Drewster Cochran, thank you.
You're very welcome.
And thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure you break up the big banks. Read more books. Scott, read more books. Be excellent to each other. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Peace out.
A PFT Media production.